You may have noticed the last few years in your favorite films and television programs, the lowercase letters PGA next to some of the names in the credits. PGA stands for the Producers Guild of America and is part of the Guild's ongoing drive to increase awareness of the organization and the roles that producers play in our moving image culture. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. One of the ways the PGA is expanding awareness of what producers do is through its new podcast titled Produced By. My guest today is Kevin Fairchild, host and executive producer of the Produced By podcast, and I'm happy to have him on the program. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I should mention you're joining us by phone from your office in New York. Right off the bat, the Producers Guild has been around since, I guess, the early 50s. But it seems to me, as an outsider the last few years, it's really been focusing on educating the public on what producers do, and part of that was putting the PGA after people's names and credits that we've been seeing the last few years. But I guess part of that is also this idea of a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll sort of start with the producer's mark, which is the lowercase PG.A, that you're starting to see behind the producer produced by credit, actually, in feature films. We haven't had a chance to bring it to television quite yet, because television's a little bit of a different beast. But the producer's mark was really designed to certify the producers on any given film that really did the heavy lifting and the bulk of the work in producing that film. And unlike a lot of the other markers, ASC, things like that, this actually does not denote membership. So you don't have to be a member of the guild to qualify for the mark.
Interesting.
But yeah, and so each film is submitted to the guild, and through an arbitration process, we determine which of those producers who got the produced by credit are actually eligible to receive the mark.
But it's still a sign of certification by the PGA.
Correct. Yeah, it's a certification that those were the producers that did the bulk of the work on the film.
I did not know that. I just assumed anybody with a PGA after the name was a member, but you have about 7,500 members, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So through this process, is it also trying to better control the proliferation of producer credits that we've seen on films and television?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the main goal of the guild is really to establish sort of standards and credits. I mean, we're not a union, so we can't set rates and things like that, so we're a little bit different than a lot of the other organizations. But what we can do is establish best practices and best credit guidelines, and they're actually available on our website, from everything from executive producers down to production coordinators, and really understanding what those roles are in film, television, and new media, because they're very different. What a producer does in a feature film is completely different than what they do in television, or sometimes even new media projects. So
it's interesting, when I present films locally and have after film discussions, and we get into credits and who did what on a film, I often get more questions about the producer and what the producer does and the various types of producers that are often listed on a film than just about any other major credit. I think most people understand generally what a director does, what the writer's contribution was, what the film composer's contribution or the cinematographer, but all of these producer credits, it just seems to stymie a lot of lay people who watch movies. Just walk us generally through a couple of the major categories of producers and how those roles are defined.
I think one of the best ways I've ever actually heard the producer sort of role described is that if it's not otherwise spelled out, writer, director, cinematographer, composer, then it's the job and responsibility of the producer. Hmm. And so they do sort of everything else that isn't specified in a credit sequence. You know, executive producers are largely responsible for finding and developing content. They often actually own, this is in feature films, own the underlying property. They are also largely responsible for financing projects, bringing other producers on, and sometimes they help with bringing directors on, or, you know, they're the people who, their participation helps get the film made.
Mm-hmm. They're building a team of
correct.
Talent.
Yeah, yeah. And then the produced by credit or producer credit, those are the folks that are really from the beginning, they're with the project longer than pretty much anyone else. I mean, they're often developing from script to screen. They're there for pre-production, production, post-production, release, post-release. I mean, the producer, being a producer with any project is sort of like having a child. You're never really done or finished with the project. There's always something you have to do with it, often for the rest of, you know, your career. And when a writer finishes with a film, they kind of walk away. Directors, the same thing. Editors, the same thing. They just sort of close that chapter. But with producers, they're there for the long term.
For listeners who want to go find the podcast produced by, it's on most streaming services. But your third episode, I thought, really broke down well for listeners the varying categories of producers and what they do and the importance of producers. And it's a good synopsis of that. And that was with Ira Deutschman, the producer, who's, I guess, now an educator. What are some of the goals of you have and the PGA has in starting this podcast series?
So the podcast is really about educating people about the work that producers actually do and the different types of producers, so sort of the conversation we're having, and how the producerial team comes together to create content. And what I was really trying to do, or what I am trying to do, is make sure that we're talking to the full production team. So the episode that I did for the New Yorker Presents, we brought in an executive producer, we brought in the supervising producer, and we talked to a line producer and a story producer about how those four people work together in each of their own separate areas to create something. And understanding how the producerial team works together, I think, is the best way to understand what producers do. And having the opportunity to talk to both sort of household name producers and non-household name producers also helps people understand what the possibilities are in terms of their career in production. And that, you know, you can be a workaday producer, you can earn a living at doing this, and these are the people who are doing it, and this is how they work.
Yeah, it's really interesting to go behind the scenes of individual projects, but also look globally at production. And I know some of your podcasts delve into specific productions. I'm going back to the Ira Deutschman episode. He had a quote in there that I thought was perfect, that the director is a chef, but the producer runs the restaurant. And it's a good way to visualize kind of all of the bits and pieces and why we have so many levels of producers credited on films and television and other things. With so much content being made, and you know, most of the legacy content that we're used to, films and television, are just a small part of the pie and the growing pie. Is the PGA, is your podcast branching out into other types of content, moving image content that's being made, to look at how producers are impacting that, or why they're needed for other types of content?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the last episode we just posted, I talked to the guys at Campfire who produce a lot of, you know, what's commonly known as transmedia, which is, mm-hmm. you know, bringing media and content into the digital space as well as the physical space. And it's long been seen as an extension of marketing of any particular property, but there's an increasing interest in using these different platforms as a way of storytelling. And, you know, for me personally, I think that the most exciting thing about being a content creator now is really the opportunity to choose the best platform for the story. So you're no longer limited to something that, you know, you have a story you want to tell, and for the longest time it was theatrical, and if it's not going to make a profit, and theatrical filmmaking is a very expensive endeavor, if it's not going to make money back doing theatrical or anything off the back end, VOD, DVD, home video, all that used to exist, then, you know, you look at it and say, well, maybe it's long-form television. Maybe we can get 6 episodes out of this. We can take our time with it. Or maybe it is a web series. Maybe it's a standalone, you know, TV special. I mean, there's all these different ways that you can create content that it's really about finding the best way to get through it. And one of the things that I look forward to on the podcast and just I love about working with producers is the idea that the line between film, television, and what is quote-unquote known as new media, those lines are definitely breaking down. And people are realizing that in many ways producing is producing is producing. And whether it's a television show or a Broadway musical or a feature film, bringing it together is still kind of the same, right? It's the skills of cooking. You have different recipes, but if you're a good chef, then, you know, aside from Ira's, the director of the show, analogy, but, you know, or if you're a good restaurateur, to stick with Ira, then, you know, you can open a pizza parlor or you can open up a bagel stand, right? The idea is sort of still the same.
So do you see an age maybe in 10 years or where gaming or games, virtual reality might fall under some of the PGA's rubric?
Oh, actually, we actually handle that now. We have a number of members that are game designers and game producers, as well as app producers and interactive producing, and you know, so we actually in the New Media Council
VR
already have those. Yeah, VR, definitely VR.
These expanding areas are just going to become hotter and hotter, I know. And I think your point is well taken that someone, the functions of a producer apply to so many types of content and businesses, even outside of moving image business. I guess the old joke in Hollywood for a young person showing up was they say, what I really want to do is direct, but I can imagine a time when it seems like producers are on the upswing again. You know, in the golden age of Hollywood, they were the top of the pyramid, and then the decline of the studio system kind of fragmented the industry. But it seems like producers really are the driving force behind so many products that we get now. Do you see a time when that will be the thing that young people coming out of film school say is, I want to be a producer?
You know, I think we're already there. I mean, there are a lot of colleges that now actually have producer-specific programs. You know, the Guild has, in the New York area, a student member program where we bring in students who are studying producing at Columbia, at the New School, at NYU, at Barnard, and, you know, a few of the other schools in the area, and we, you know, sort of introduce them to what the Guild does, and, you know, they have their own programming that they do and seminars that are focused on the work that our students are doing. But over the past few years, the students who are coming in are absolutely amazing, and the work that they've already done is quite phenomenal. So I think people are finally realizing that, you know, I mean, producers they've always been the backbone, you know, and nothing gets done without a producer, and it takes a lot of time to make these projects. You know, if a film gets made in 4 years, it's a miracle from beginning to end through financing and development.
Right.
You know, often it's 8 to 10 years, and it's the producer who's there for all 8 to 10 years of that film.
So maybe we just forgot that lesson. We're relearning it over and over again. Yeah. Well, I've certainly learned a lot listening to several of your podcasts, and I really look forward to more to come. Thanks so much, Kevin, for being with us today on the program.
You got it. Thank you.
My guest today has been Kevin Fairchild, executive producer for the Producer Guild of America's new podcast, Produced By. He's also the host of the podcast. You can learn more about the Producers Guild of America at their website, producersguild.org. And you can stream the Produced By podcast via iTunes, Google Play, and other streaming platforms. On Films Engineer is Evan Walsh. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.